Thank you. I am shy. I hate talking in front of people. I actually hate talking to people like 1 to 5 or something. But so bear with me. Today, I'm just going to take you on a journey through my favorite verses and what they've meant to me. It's kind of the story of my life, but I want to talk to you about the journey that God all has for each one of us. And it's not all roses sometimes, but God is always with us. So I am going to go ahead and read our first verse, and then I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we'll get started. Our main text today is going to be taken from Jeremiah 29:11. And how many here have Bibles that you're going to look up? Okay. Then I'll look up the verses too, and hopefully I'll have enough time to do that and finish. As much as I hate talking in front of people, I'm very wordy, and I teach Sunday school, and I rarely get done in my amount of time for anybody that's been in my class. Okay, I'm going to read, and I didn't give you the verse, did I? Okay. I'm going to speak to you today out of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And I'll give you a couple minutes to get there. That way, see, I forget to give you the verse, I win. Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and start reading. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day, and I just pray that you give me the correct words to say and the strength to say, Lord. And I just pray that each one of these girls here would listen intently, Lord, and be able to apply it to their lives. If not today, Lord, then sometime in the future, Lord, that they can be a help to others. I just pray that you give us grace here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. What's really interesting about this verse, God makes this promise to the children of Israel that He has thoughts toward them of good and peace, not of evil. There's an expected end, and that's not just expected as like you expect something to happen. But in this case, it means of a good ending. What's interesting about this verse is right then at this time, the people of Israel are being attacked by a foreign country. The city of Jerusalem is being destroyed. Men, women, and children are being killed. Some of them are being taken. The ones that aren't being killed are taken away to a foreign country that serves a foreign god, and they'll live there in captivity for 70 years. But God makes this promise of good and not of evil, and of a good end, an expected end. You see, the path God has given each and every one of us, each one of us has a unique path to trod. But I can guarantee you that almost every one of us, if not all of us, are going to experience a rough road to our expected end. God is trying to give the people here of Israel hope for the future, hope for their children. In tough times, through suffering. And this verse, He also gives to us, so that no matter what we might be going through, we know as children of God that we have an expected end. When I was 6 years old, I live in Hawaii, it was great. But when I was 6 years old, an older teenager sexually abused me. I never told my parents. I didn't know what was going on. It was 1979. Nobody talked about things like that. But what he had told me was that it was my fault. And if I ever said anything, my parents wouldn't love me anymore. And they wouldn't want me. And as a six-year-old, I had no idea what was happening. But I believed him. My family ended up moving away. My dad was in the Navy. His enlistment ended. We moved far away. And as time went on, my mind refused to think about anything that had happened. If I had a memory, I refused to think about it. It didn't happen. It was not, you know. And so I kind of escaped that way. But I had always believed that I was so bad and so wrong that my parents shouldn't love me. I knew they loved me. They were great to me, but I felt so unworthy, and I felt like I was lying to them my entire life. They knew who I really, really, truly was. Then I shouldn't be part of this family. So I felt like it was a big lie. And I was determined. I was six. I was seven, eight. I was determined, in order to earn my parents' love, to be the perfect child. If I didn't do anything wrong, then maybe I really was kind of worthy of my parents' love. But I was a pretty mischievous child. It was very difficult for me to be perfect all the time. I got into things, I disobeyed, I took things that didn't belong to me, you know, climbed trees and fell out of them, whatever. And quickly, it became more and more despairing to me because I couldn't measure up to being perfect to earn my parents' love, and I felt that I was completely lying to them. But all the time, I was pretending that everything was fine. Everything's fine. I didn't want to leave my family. When I was eight, something drastically changed my life. My parents did not go to church. But when I was 8 years old, just turned eight, my parents sent me to a Christian camp that they had gone to when they were little. And at 8 years old, I heard the gospel for the first time. And what really touched my heart, and this is going to be kind of silly when you people have heard this verse, was Romans 3:23. And Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." A lot of us look at that verse to say, okay, yeah, you're a sinner. It's the first step, right, to the gospel road and stuff. And people can acknowledge that you're a sinner. But this verse actually gave me hope. Hey, we're all sinners. I'm not perfect. I'm not supposed to be. Everybody is not perfect. It's not just me. And it actually gave me hope. And my counselor took me and she showed me the Bible. And in Romans 5:8, it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And here again was more hope for me. I really felt like my parents shouldn't love me. I really believed that they shouldn't love me. And they didn't know that they shouldn't love me. But here, the Bible says that even though I was bad, even though I was a sinner, and God knew that I was a sinner, he still loved me. And he died for me. And when I recognized that, I asked Christ into my heart as an eight-year-old girl. Now, I want to make sure that everybody understands, I was a sinner because I have Adam's fallen nature. Because this world's cursed. I did do things wrong. But what had happened to me, I want to make sure everybody understands, that was not my fault. That was not my sin. I want to make sure that if anybody's in this room questioning something that similar has happened to you, that is not a sin on you. I didn't quite get that at that time that I got saved. I knew that I was a sinner, and that is true. And Romans 10:13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I did, and I got saved, and I became a child of God. And at 8 years old, I had somebody else on my side. But the path, when you get saved, is still rocky. The children of Israel, they were God's chosen people. They still had a very, very rocky road. I still don't understand what happened. My parents did not know. and I tried my best. I didn't even understand, now I can't even think of the word of it. I still didn't understand internal salvation, that I had Christ forever, no matter what I did. I was 8, I didn't quite grasp the concept that if I sinned, I was still saved and stuff. I mean, I kind of knew it, but I didn't really, really get that God would always love me. But I knew I was saved, and I loved God. But I went back home, and my parents still didn't go to church. I didn't have a lot of Bible knowledge at all. I tried my best to pray and ask God's help. As far as my struggles at home, I still tried to pretend that everything was okay. But inside, I was still despairing. I still really believed that, even though Christ loved me and I knew it, I still really believed that I was not worthy of anybody else's love. I mean, Christ loved everybody. And so, I don't know how old I was yet, but I planned to run away because I was just not good enough for my family. My sister found out, and she stopped me, and she didn't tell on me. But I was trying to solve my own problems instead of God solving, helping God allowing me to solve my problems. I went back to camp the next year, and I grew more in the Lord. But I was still 9 years old, 10 years old, and I still didn't quite feel that I was worthy of love. And every night I would go to bed and I would pray that I would get leukemia and die. Because I just didn't feel like I was worth anybody's love except for Christ. I knew I'd go to heaven. And you know what? The Bible says in Psalms 3:3, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." God lifted up my head day by day when I didn't have the strength to, when I felt like giving up. He lifted up my head and he put his arms around me and he became my shield to protect me. But it still wasn't easy. When I was 12 years old, I had done something. I can't even remember what it was. But I had done something. And I had gotten punished for it, and I was home. I don't know if I was home alone or my parents might have been, my sister might have been home. And I took a knife, and I was just going to kill myself so my family wouldn't have to live with me anymore. And I took a knife, and I cut myself. I still have a scar. And just about the time I cut myself, I was going to draw back, and I don't know if I'd have the strength anyways. But an image flashed through my head of my parents grieving at my funeral. And God had put a shield up in my mind. Whether I felt like my parents should love me or not, whether I felt worthy of my love of my family did love me. And it would be incredibly selfish for me to hurt them like that, for me to grieve with, put that kind of grief on them with no explanation. And I didn't do it. And statistics would say that a lot of you girls here have thought the same thing. I recently told a young boy who said he was thinking about suicide, and we were talking with him, and I said, you know, when I was young, I thought about it. I was going to do it. And I told him about what had happened to me. But what I also told them was, you know, whatever you're going through at this stage in your life, whatever I was going through when I was a young girl, that's not your whole life. I said, the best times of my life were still ahead. There was fun things I did, trivial fun things I did, fell in love, got married. The best days of my life, have 3 marvelous children that wouldn't be here without me. My husband's a pastor, and he may not even have been saved if I was not alive. The people that I've led to the Lord might not be saved if I hadn't been living. The lives that my children touch won't be touched if I wasn't living. The best days of your lives, every one of you here, are ahead of you. I still struggled. I knew I couldn't kill myself. My parents did love me. But I still really felt unworthy. Every year I went back to camp, and every year I did grow strong in the Lord, but I didn't know anybody else that was a Christian. I didn't go to church. I had a whole year of kind of despair. And you know what? God gave me those summers. And when I was a little kid, I thought camp was a magic place, because hope sprung up in my heart out of despair. Hope and hope and hope. And it was magic to me. But through the year, it got more and more and more discouraging. 2 Corinthians 2:8 and 9 says, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." Paul is writing this. Many people believe the thorn was physical pain from being beaten or stoned so many times that he was literally in constant pain. Some people believe that he was losing his eyesight. Whatever it was, it doesn't say. He asked God three times to remove it. "And God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." I was weak. I couldn't get over my despair by wishing I was dead, by trying to kill myself, or even by pretending that I was the happiest person alive and I didn't have a care in the world. Nobody knew what I was going through. Not my parents and not my sister, not my best friends. And I tried many different ways to make it go away. But every day, God gave me his strength and his grace to get through. Every day I tried to pray. I tried to read my Bible. And daily he was giving me strength. By the time I was, I'm guessing I was 18. Now all this time, I had really pretended that what had happened to me didn't really happen. I had blocked it out of my mind. But when I was 17, I knew it had. I couldn't pretend anymore that it didn't happen to me. Now I knew. I was older. I knew what had happened to me. When I was a young girl, I didn't know what had happened to me. But when I got older, I knew it, and I couldn't pretend anymore, and I decided that I was going to face it head on and acknowledge it. That all these years of despair that I ingrained in myself, that I was bad, I was wrong, I was unlovable, I still had that. I knew in my mind by the time I was 17, 18, that it was not true. My mind knew that I was just as lovable as anybody else, that it was not my fault, that I wasn't so bad and horrible. My mind knew that. But when you've been thinking so long since you were a little tiny girl, it's hard to break that. And I was 18, I went away to Virginia Tech College, and I can be very practical. And I decided, well, I know this is true. Virginia Tech, they have free psychiatry services. And I'm going to go and talk to a psychiatrist so I can go and tell my parents what had happened to me. I never talked to my parents, though. And I said, I need to go and do this. So I went and did it, and she had me do a whole bunch of little exercises and writing notes and things like this. And it became overwhelming. Became overwhelming. Because I was dealing with depression and feeling bad about myself, but I had never dealt with the action of what had happened to me. And when she had me do some journals and she had me write to this person, not literally, I didn't have to literally send it out, but I was supposed to write to this person, I was in college, doing a whole college schedule, and I was working. Well, one night I was out at a party. Still didn't go to church. I was at a party, and I had a nervous breakdown. I was with a bunch of strangers. My roommate was there, and I started sobbing and freaking out uncontrollably. I went back, and for days, I couldn't get changed or undressed or into my pajamas or anything. There was so much anger in me because I had always felt despair, but I never really felt anger. That there was parts of me that just wanted to rip my face off. I know that sounds whatever, but there was parts of me I just wanted to get rid of. Like, I just wanted to be new. I wanted to be a different person. And it felt so overwhelming that I was in this deep, deep, endless bottomless pit. And I could not get out of the rage and the despair and the hopelessness. And I got my Bible out. And I have no idea. I just opened it and I read something. And it changed me. It helped me. I called out and I said, "You, all this time God has been giving me grace and giving me strength for every day. But I never put it completely on God." Psalms 41:2, verses 1 and 2, says, "I waited for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." This is the pit I was in. I literally felt like I was in this pit, a horrible pit, a miry pit that's slimy and bug infested and everything else. A horrible place. And I called out to God and I said, "You have to fix this for me. I can't do it anymore. I can't live like this anymore." And you know what? He picked me up and he put my feet on the ground. And he saved me. Doesn't mean I don't have issues. Doesn't mean that there aren't some times where I have to battle old ways of thinking. But you know what? I had my feet established on something now. They weren't just flopping in the air trying to get somewhere. He established my goings and gave me a way. Now, statistics will say that there are girls in this room that have an experience similar to mine. Maybe not, but for one thing, there are statistics that will say that. I hope my prayer is for you that if you're not saved, that you would see these verses, that you know that you are a sinner. What happened to you didn't make you a sinner, but you are a sinner, and that God loves you. And he died for you. In order for God to help you, you have to be a child of God. This passage that God wrote for the children of Israel, they were his children, and he said, "I will give you an expected end." In order for you to have an expected end, you have to be a child of God. But there are others on you that have not had this experience. And you know what? My suffering and my past, it's not any worse or better than other people. Every single one of us in this room is going to suffer something. It could be illness in your family. It could be the death of a loved one. Maybe not now, 10 years, 15 years. Some of you might have not good family. I knew my parents loved me, but some people in here that don't honestly know that. Anybody's suffering is not necessarily any better or worse than anybody else, but we go through it. And God can pick you up out of whatever it is that you find yourself in, whatever situation, and he can establish your goings. He wants to give you an expected end. Each one of you in here is a unique person with unique gifts and talents that God wants to use to reach out and touch people. Jude 1:22 says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." If you've been through something, doesn't have to be my situation, it could be any kind of situation, loneliness, despair, and if you've been through it, it gives you a unique perspective to be compassionate to other people. But I want everybody here to look around you, to your friends, your siblings, and have compassion. You never know what somebody next to you is going through. My family did not know what I was going through. My sister I shared a room with, she did not know what I was going through. But despite that, you don't have to know what somebody is going through to have compassion. When I was 8 years old, a camp counselor named Cindy Frater put up with a clingy, annoying 8-year-old girl and befriended her and led her to Christ, which really changed my life. I don't know if I'd be standing here today if that didn't, well, obviously I wouldn't be standing here if that didn't happen, but I mean, I don't know if I'd physically be on earth if that didn't happen. She showed compassion to me. She didn't know what my situation was, but she loved me. My best friend growing up, we had lots of differences. We have different personalities. I had issues. She didn't know what they all were, but she loved me. And having her as a friend often kept me going. When I was at that party and had a nervous breakdown in front of, literally, there was like 200 people there. A girl I don't know, I still don't know, never knew her name. She took me aside, found my roommate. She brought me to her room, got me something to drink, hugged me, and tried to comfort me as best she could. And she had compassion on me. I don't even know who she is. As children of Christ, we need to have compassion on people around us and near us. Lastly, I don't know, I have no idea what time we started. Oh, I didn't know if I was going to be early or not. Ask me, my life verse is Romans 8:38-39. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It's not in the rest of my paper. This is my life verse. No matter what is happening in your life, no matter who opposes you, no matter who hurts you, no matter what sin you have committed, or the things you didn't do that you were supposed to do, no matter how you feel about yourself, nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus. He loves you just the way you are. He wants you to grow. He wants you to overcome obstacles. He wants you to use His grace. He wants to perfect you in every way. And nothing is going to separate you from His love. So I'd like each one of you girls, I have copies of these verses if you'd like them. They were tremendous help to me in different times of my life. And I didn't say this, but the suffering that you might go through, that you have gone through, it is designed to strengthen you so you can be a help to other people. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to glorify Him in our lives and through our stories and help others. So by this, He gives us the strength. It's very, very difficult. And it's very hard sometimes. And there's never just an easy, I'm saved and everything's going to be perfect. There's no, okay, well, I prayed and tomorrow from this point on in my life, it's going to be perfect. But it's an everyday struggle that God is allowing you to grow and strengthen. I'm sure almost all of you have heard the analogy of the little caterpillar in the cocoon. And the little boy wanted to help the butterfly trying to break out. And he opens up the cocoon because he sees that butterfly struggling and struggling and struggling and struggling and fighting. And he's like, oh, that poor little thing, I'm going to make it easy for him. And he opens up the cocoon, and the butterfly can't fly. And it ends up dying. Because they need to strengthen their wings in that cocoon and fight their way out so they can fly. And a lot of times our life's like that. You may not think, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I've never had any issues. But you do have things every day that you have to struggle through. And God is strengthening your wings so you can fly and bring glory to Him. If you do, now listen. I was 19 years old before I talked to my parents about what had happened to me. I was afraid, even when I got older, I knew I didn't believe that they wouldn't love me anymore. But I was afraid to hurt them. If anybody has had something that they're struggling with, it doesn't have to be this kind of situation. It could just be something that you're depressed about, something that you feel about yourself, and you don't want to talk to your parents because you don't want to bother them, or you're afraid that you'll hurt them or whatever. I can tell you, if you wait years and years after it happens, you'll hurt them more. Because no parent ever wants a child to go through something and find out later that they could have helped them and they weren't able to because they didn't know. So if anybody here is struggling, please tell somebody that cares and loves about you and let them help you. God puts people in our lives to help us. I'm going to go ahead and end in prayer.